crossovers. All reverse.
Couples only.
How many people remember roller skating to this song? Hey?
Oh, yeah. Hey?
And you had to have, did you own your own?
What, my own roller skates?
Yeah.
Dude, I was a nerd, but I wasn't a super nerd.
I had my own roller skates. They had to be black Dominion Precision. And then you had to, remember how you had to fold the tongues down and tie the tongues down? Do you remember that? So you could just slide your feet in and out. And I was the man. I was the legend.
I just wanted to work at a car wash.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to do.
Yes.
You could tan. You could spray water on you if it was too hot. Ooh, and you could sing like this.
You might not ever get rich. But let me tell you, it's better than digging a ditch.
Oh. I heard this driving down. I thought, oh, we got to play this during the show.
What were they playing this on?
Wait. No. Oh, it was. That's what it was. It was a segue in Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Right.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in, folks. We've got a lot of stories to get to. And, you know, maybe it was just subconscious that I did this. I thought that since we're going to have the Senior Vice President, Publisher, Harper Elixir on the show today, that we should have stories that I think would make good books. Maybe I did that subconsciously.
Well, maybe you're going to get all these people contracts.
Yeah, okay.
But don't mention it when she's on the air.
No,
connected
no,
with
you
us,
wouldn't want
we don't
that.
Want her to
subconsciously. That's inappropriate.
Yeah, completely.
Just like that. Claudia Reimer.
As in the hockey player?
Boutote. What an amazing lady this is. You should check this bio out. Basically, she's the big cheese over at Harper Elixir, which is a new line of conscious living books from Harper One, the West Coast imprint of Harper Collins. Harper Elixir books are dedicated to exploring the essence of the human spirit, personal growth and transformation, ancient wisdom and its application to modern life, and the convergence of ideas between culture, spiritual practice, wellness, and healing. Did you get that?
I did. Which
sounds
is
like
what Elixir is all about.
Thank you. For the past 11 years, Claudia has overseen Harper One's innovations in marketing, public relations, and packaging, as well as sitting on Harper One's editorial board. I bet you they weren't happy about that. Her strategies have been instrumental in propelling over 120 books and counting onto the New York Times bestseller list.
Wow.
Including Clean by Dr. Alejandro... Is it Junger?
Junger.
Junger?
Wow, that's an interesting comment. That's like a Spanish name and a German name together.
Yeah, you're looking Junger and Junger.
Alessandro.
Anyway, so much more about this lady. Instead of reading it, let's talk to her. Here's the website for you, harperelixir.com. Claudia, thank you for joining us. Why do you have to give me such hard names to pronounce?
I do. That was a wonderful introduction. Thank
really?
You.
Really?
That was. I don't know if you could hear me giggling.
Oh, man. Well, we try our best.
Thanks for trying to pronounce my name. It's a hard one.
Oh, such a difficult time. Okay, I have so many questions for you, but being the big cheese over at Harper Elixir, what I want to know is, you know, did you ask for this job or were you given this job? Like, is this something that resonates with your soul, your being, or is this just another job? I mean, you can't answer by saying, no, it's just another job. You can't, obviously, you're not going to say that, but how deep does this spiritual stuff go for you?
Well, very deep, actually, and it's a really great question because I did want this job, and it's kind of a culmination, as you kind of said in my bio, of my professional work experience, having worked at Harper One for many, many years in the religion, spirituality, and personal growth space. But the reason that I even came to this division or to this company was that I had grown up with a, you know, kind of what I would call hippie parents.
Okay.
And we lived in the academic town of Amherst, Massachusetts.
Oh, man.
And I grew up down the street from the poet and mystic Emily Dickinson's home. And she was a great influence on my life. In fact, her poem, I Dwell in Possibility, I think is like kind of one of my mantras, and also one of the reasons why for our tagline at Harper Elixir, I made it past, present, and possible, because I have a great belief in the possible. In my personal life, I grew up with these kind of hippie parents, a psychologist who believed in science, but who was like an ardent rock hound. So we traveled around the country looking at crystals and going into old abandoned mines and sort of teaching me about the natural world. And a bohemian artist who believed in magic and social justice. And so all of that informed my life. And so these are the kinds of books that I really felt a passion for. And so when a couple of years ago, we started to see this really big sea change in culture and this sort of new hunger, a spiritual hunger that was rising again, across the world, I would say. But I think we were seeing it resonate from like retailers to retreat centers, and people were looking for more meaning and to sort of answer those big questions of life, those fundamental questions like, where are we going? What are we doing? Where do we go when we die? What's going to be the genesis and the extension of human potential? We decided that we could really kind of answer that call with some books that could help with that. And that was the genesis of Harper Elixir. So we were already in the sort of spiritual religion space through my Harper One division. And in that division, we've published authors that have been on your show, like Rob Bell and Bart Ehrman and Marianne Williamson and Paulo Coelho. But we could see that there were people who wanted to go further and deeper. So that was the reason we went with Elixir. And I was just really blessed that the company tapped me for it because it was something I wanted. And probably I'm the only person in mainstream publishing that has crystals all over her desk.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me ask you then, the right brain, the left brain side of you, you really have, you know, you've exercised both parts of your brain quite extensively. And in the world that you're in, you're going to have a variety of people submitting copy, you know, oh, can you publish this and can you publish that? And what? But every world has its positive and negative. Every gift has a backside to it, as I say a lot on this show. The world of books that you are in, I don't know how to say this without sounding like a jerk. Dude, you must get a ton of flaky stuff sent to you. And how do you filter that out? Because you also, you got to remain open and ready to let the light in some kind of a way. And yet it's a business. And yet it's something where you've got to go, whoa, 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 this person is just way off the charts. And in your world, off the charts is actually where you want them to be. So how do you find that balance?
Well, I think that it's really interesting time because what was once fringe is kind of now mainstream, or kind of fringe meets fashion. And I think that we get a lot of submissions, and I think that's wonderful because I think that you never know where as you said, the next source of light is going to come from. However, what I look for is I have what I would call several buckets in which that I'm looking to publish in, and those are spiritual leaders and something I would call therapeutic spirituality, which is about sort of energy healing and vibrational energy. And then I'm looking to publish into divination systems and the magical arts. And I'm also very, very interested in conspiracy theory and UFO, because I think this is like the moment where, again, that was fringe, but it's mainstream. In fact, in the fall, I'm publishing the official book to Ancient Aliens, the TV show. And I'm so excited about that because I think that its time has come, and it's one of the most popular shows on the History Channel. But at any rate, so what I look for are books that fit into the programs in which I want to publish.
What is the downside of doing what you do?
Well, I don't think there's a downside. I consider it a great blessing that I get to bring important ideas to the world.
But I would imagine.
So where's the downside to that?
Yeah, no, but what I would imagine is possibly rejecting something that you and your gang feel really isn't something you want to publish, and then finding out 4 years down the road that, oh, you missed it. That was the one.
Right.
Is that a weird, I don't know, heavy that lays on you?
You know, one of the things I think is so interesting about publishing as a profession is it's an art, not a science. And we you can put a lot of metrics against it, but at the end of the day, a lot of it is about your own intuitions and your And that's based on your experience as to what has gone out into the marketplace and been resonant and what hasn't. So could you miss something perhaps? But hopefully that you have, based on that experience, a great sense of what could really be interesting to people.
Right, right. Well, I mean, look, first thing comes to mind is a friend of mine who wrote a book called The Shack, William Paul Young. You know, there's
an amazing book.
Yeah, there's a guy who was rejected by, I don't know, 29, 30 publishing houses, and he finally went to Kinko's and self-published it, and all of a sudden, boom, you know, it finally took off. So it, the traction didn't happen until he made it happen, right?
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I think that there are those magical stories that you just said, like The Shack, or 1 year ago with The Celestine Prophecy,
right,
which is a book that actually changed my life and one of the major works for me personally. And, you know, the story on that book was also that, you know, he, you know, went cross-country, you know, hawking the book from his station wagon, and eventually it hit. I think what it really means is that it takes a lot to break through the noise and into people's consciousness. And in that, in those times and in now, it's a combination. It does take a village to make a book and to make something happen so that it resonates enough in the public consciousness. So the authors do have to do a lot of work, mm-hmm, as well as us. We have to do a lot of work to make sure that a book can make impact.
How do you marry the Jesus stuff with the alternative religious movement stuff? You know, how do you end up publishing? Like, I know Rob Bell's maybe a poor example because, you know, some Jesus people say Rob Bell isn't a Jesus person. He's so out there or whatever. But, you know, how do you marry Jesus stuff with, say, Deepak Chopra or even other extremes? You know, when the Jesus buyers, you know, the Christian scene out there is, they seem to be so loyal and they have this sniff test for, ooh, that smells like incense. I'm not going to buy that, you know.
Yeah. Well, how do we marry it in our work?
Yeah.
For us, we kind of look at who our audience is, and the audience for our books, across Harper One and Harper Elixir, are people who are seekers and people who are looking for a sort of spiritual awakening, but are open to those kinds of experts who are more alternative. As you said, Rob Bell is slightly alternative to an evangelical audience. But yet he has a great resonance to the spiritual seeker.
Yeah.
And so for all of our books, at Harper One, which is my parent division, we publish Houston Smith and Archbishop Desmond Tutu and the Dalai Lama. And, you know, it's a wide swath of spiritual leaders. But it all goes to that same audience, people who are open and trying to find ways to improve their life through spirit.
Man, it is such a fascinating time to live in. There's a theologian who died last year, I think. Her name is Phyllis Tickle, an interesting last name. And Phyllis says that that in the church world, every 500 years, things explode. And she says we are in the middle of that explosion right now. It's a fascinating time. We're on the phone with Claudia Reimer-Boutote. Did I do it?
You kind of got it.
What do you mean, kind of? Where did I fail?
Well, it's actually Reimer.
Everyone in this room said Reimer. You know why everyone in the room said Reimer? Because we had a goaltender named James Reimer here for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, maybe he's a distant relative, but I don't know.
No. That's like a Mennonite name up in our neck of the woods. Maybe not for
it's
you.
Austrian.
Oh, yeah. that's what I meant. Okay. So let's talk about what's trending and what's not. Let's go, like I like to do with my spiritual gift of pessimism, what's not trending anymore? What is passé?
Well, I actually think almost everything in terms of spirit is trending. I think what is happening is that the word mindfulness has been very much used, and I think it's moving, it's morphing a little bit into other words like resilience and grit. And so I wouldn't say it's not trending, but I think it's evolving.
Hmm. Okay, then what's hot? What's the hottest thing going right now? I mean, you mentioned it a little bit at the top. Yeah. Aliens and, well, I mean, let me just be a jerk here for a second. Aliens, chakras, and downward dogs. Are they trending? Is that what am I in the right pocket?
Yes. I think what's really trending is divination. I think that's super hot.
You know the Bible says, it says divination is witchcraft, right? So are you saying witchcraft is hot?
Well, what I'm saying is systems in which you can get information. For example, tarot.
Right.
Tarot is a very hot trend, and I'm publishing a major tarot in the fall called The Wild Unknown Tarot. And my author has, you know, Instagram is one kind of barometer of popularity these days, and she has almost 92,000 followers on Instagram. And so what that means to me as a publisher is that this is trending, this is hot. And so this particular system takes tarot, but it modernizes it, and it's not scary or anything. I think it's a very modern way to ask questions.
Yeah, yeah. Can I want to apologize for asking what I asked or saying what I said, because some people are a little ultra sensitive, and I would actually put myself into this category, because I'm apologizing for what I just said. I just said to you something I hardly ever say, which is, well, the Bible says, that's not my vernacular. But all I know is that, you know, there is a couple of verses, I think, that talk about divination, and I think they're talking about, you know, divining spirits as, you know, what we're getting at. And that freaks out a lot of mainstream people, which I think what we're saying is, at this point in our culture, mainstream is starting to de-stream. It's starting to burst out into different tributaries. Is that fair, do you think?
I think that's right. And I think that there's been a lot of research on that, like from the Pew Forum. And I think the Pew Forum, which released, you know, several surveys on religion in the past few years, but one of the most groundbreaking survey was when they identified this huge number of an audience, almost 35%, I believe, of people who are identifying as spiritual but not religious.
Yeah, the nuns.
But yet looking for, not that they don't believe in God, mm-hmm. but that they may not attend a mainstream church or temple, but they still have those impulses and the wish to connect to the divine, but may be seeking those answers elsewhere.
Man, you have hit the market at the exact right time, and I envy you. I do. And I'm so thankful you took the time to join us on our show and give us a little update as to what all this Harper Elixir stuff is about. I'm quite excited to follow this lineup of books. And let's go out with this. This is your opportunity to plug the next greatest thing coming out of Harper Elixir. Ready, set, go!
The Power of Mercury, Wild Unknown Tarot, Ancient Aliens, and Elemental Energy, all coming this fall.
Wow.
Beautiful. Now say it again in a really cool radio voice.
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I have that. See, that's what you have.
Okay.
The Power of Mercury.
Nice. Well done.
Cool radio voice.
Ancient alien.
Oh, too fun.
Thank you so much for this opportunity to talk to you and to your audience.
Claudia Reimer Boutot. I did it right?
You were fantastic, Drew. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
HarperElixir.com. That's a website, folks. Check it out. Check it out. I want you to have a listen to this video. This is our video of the week that we posted this week. I just found out about this guy. I think someone told me about him a few months ago.
He's got a couple of fun little things.
Oh, my goodness. I think he's my lost brother from another mother, Earth. He is Mr. Super Spiritual Guy. What's his name again?
J.P. Spears.
J.P. Spears. He kind of is the band.
Sears.
Sears?
As in the company.
Thank you, Tim.
Eaton's.
He has a headband on, little flowers tucked in the headband, the long hair, and he has some spiritual advice for you all. Have a listen.
You recording?
Yes.
I'm JP Sears. I'm ultra spiritual. And I'm going to teach you how to be ultra spiritual today. First, what you need to understand is being ultra spiritual has nothing to do with actually being spiritual, because no one even knows what that actually is. Being ultra spiritual means you look spiritual. So let's get started. Practice competitive spirituality.
Yes.
Silently / passive aggressively, you're going to want to compare how spiritual other people are to yourself.
Yep.
Judging other people to be less spiritual than you,
like Tori,
makes you a better person than them. And that's exactly what makes you more spiritual.
There's
than
a scene
you.
Where he's sitting on the
front. Hey, Kevin.
Front porch.
Do you see how unconscious that guy is? Jerk. Claim to be using your intuition when you're actually thinking about things. In fact, you're going to want to announce this to people every chance you get, because false intuition isn't true intuition until you get other people to believe that your false claims are actually true. Hey, Deanna, my intuition just told me to give you a call.
He looks at his cell phone, and he's got a missed call from her.
I didn't see that you had called me. Talk about energy. You're going to want to integrate this into all your conversations. It'll seem meaningless to other people, because it is. But don't let that stop you, though. I love energy. I love chi. I love prana. I love life force. I love auras. I love chakras. It's all vibration. Rebel against dogmatic religious terminology by dogmatically using spiritual terminology.
This is so good.
You'll want to keep your eyes closed extra tight on this one, so that you don't see that you're actually still subscribed to the exact same belief system that you're rebelling against. Because now you're expressing the same concepts, just with new words. Jesus loves you. The universe supports you. I'll pray for you. I'll send you white light. God will provide for you. The universe is abundant. It's all about getting into heaven. It's all about getting back to oneness. Hallelujah. Om. Say the word namaste. Any chance you get.
Namaste.
You need to stumble your way through mispronunciations of it and awkwardly using it in social situations where it doesn't actually fit. Namaste, 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 namasta, namasta, namaste. Hold eye contact for awkward lengths of time. You'll call it intimate. Everyone else will call it intimidating. Deny your pain. If you're going to be ultra spiritual, then you need to believe that being a human being and having these things called human feelings has nothing to do with a spiritual experience. You're breaking up with me? You've been sleeping with my best friend. No, I'm not hurt. It's all part of the perfection. It's all love. It is what it is. Use an exaggeratedly light tone of voice when you are talking to other ultra-spiritual people. This is kind of like showing your ID to get into a bar. It proves that you belong. It's all love. You just gotta follow your bliss. Do copious amounts of yoga, even though you have no idea why aggressively stretching your body and wearing $100 Lululemon pants relates to your spirituality. This one's good. I feel this one in my spirit. Ah, that's effective. It makes my hamstrings feel like they're tearing, which is helpful because I think hamstring is the French word for kundalini, which means this is making my kundalini more muscular. Reclassify all the ways you're irresponsible under the new heading, I'm a free spirit. Aggressively defend your position statement like you're an angel defending getting its wings cut off. A job? I don't have a job. I want to be free, brother. Can I borrow a couple bucks? Seriously, I haven't eaten for like 3 days. Please, be my abundance, man. In here, they say that if you subscribe to JP's YouTube channel, you'll become fully enlightened.
Okay, oh man. Honestly, I've watched like 14 of this guy's videos this week. I didn't get out much. Should have been outside a little more. All right, a short break. Are you okay, Tim?
I'm smiling. I heard Tori giggling too, so it must have been good.
You know, what everyone doesn't understand is that I make fun of all tribes equally.
You've got a gift.
I have a gift.
You're kind of like the...
I haven't found it yet, but...
You're kind of like the Russell Peters of religion.
Okay, that'll work.
Yeah.
Every tribe's got something to laugh at.
Yes.
Hey, Tori, I got a question for you.
Yep.
Is there anything you'd like to tell the world?
Possibly. You want me to tell the world something?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization. Good day,
just,
right?
Just a moment while Tori has a stroke.
Remix.
Okay,
remix.
All right. And go.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we give you an entire show?
That's a great idea.
The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for small business owners. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us for an entire show. Become a one-day advertising partner, and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show.
That's four times, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
And we'll give you a live five-minute phone interview. Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. So, if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with the Drew Marshall Show. Contact us through our website, drewmarshall.ca, and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tori the intern.
Right, Tori
the intern. Well done.